Welcome to the 104 Sports Report, hosted by Alex Brooks and Brian Burrows, the main source for Oswego sports, a member of the Oswegonian Multimedia Network. Let's get into it.
Welcome into episode 4 of the 104 Sports Report. Alongside me is Brian Burrows. I am Alex Brooks. As Brian, we get ready for the ending of fall sports here at SUNY Oswego. How are we feeling?
Yeah, it's a little sad time of year because things looked so promising for all of these teams at the beginning of their seasons in their non-conference play, and it just kind of gone downhill. You got some teams vying for playoff spots. Some of them are in, some of them are out. No one's technically eliminated yet, which is a good thing, but I think we might see two of the four teams at tops in the playoff. Maybe three. Actually, three. I'm going to say three tops. We'll get into which team isn't making it later.
Yeah, exactly. As we get into the discussion of volleyball, I just feel like at the beginning of the season, it just felt like there was so much hype around all these teams. Volleyball, men's soccer, women's soccer, and then field hockey, of course. But, you know, obviously, as the season goes on and then you face the tough SUNYAC opponents, it can get very, very dicey, and it's proving which team is better than each other in those conferences. But we'll get started with some Oswego women's volleyball. This past Tuesday, they got a 3-0 sweep versus SUNY Poly.
Not a SUNYAC team.
Exactly.
A SUNYAC team.
Exactly.
They have SUNY in the name. They're not in the SUNYAC. Just want to put that in. Continue.
Yeah. Of course. 3-0 sweep over SUNY Poly on Tuesday. And it was kind of like a bounce back as they were able to have two SUNYAC games left. They improved their record to 16-8 overall, 4-3 in the SUNYAC, as they are placed sixth in that SUNYAC conference. They got New Paltz coming up, and they got Oneonta. What did you see from that last matchup against SUNY Poly, Brian?
I mean, 3-0 sweep's big. I mean, but they did it to a lot of other non-conference teams. Let's see, they did it to Wells. They did 3-1 on Nazareth. They did 3-0 to Plattsburgh. Well, that's a big one. But okay, non-conference though. Casanova is 3-0. St. Lawrence is 3-1. Madai was 3-0. Utica was 3-0. So non-conference 3-0 win is almost kind of a standard. I mean, it's better than the 3-1s they had, but like, it's almost kind of a standard. It's kind of where they get into the SUNYAC games, which there are two left. They have three total games, but two left where things get dicier. And I think, Ethan, you mentioned, they're six in the SUNYAC. They're trying to get that last playoff spot. There are six teams make it in the SUNYAC, as every sport but field hockey does. So, yeah. Are they going to make it? That's the question. Do they make it?
That is the question, Brian. McKenna Corbin is second in assists per set at 7.89.
Awesome.
She's been a beast
and
all season.
Top that with Georgia Ferry, also second in hit percentage at 0.347%. Like, those two are, like, that's awesome. That's in the SUNYAC, obviously. That's not in the country. That's in the SUNYAC. But second, like, of all the SUNYAC teams, there is a total of, I believe, 10 of them. So to play second of every player, that's awesome. And then you have Emily Zeisler in third in service assists, service aces per set at 0.68. That's awesome. 0.68 aces per set is insane.
Yeah. It is insane, and as we get into the big question, which is, why is it that Oswego goes to non-conference matchup and they just beat them senseless, and then they go against the SUNYAC, and it's like, it's the most tallest test that they have faced all season, which it shouldn't be. This is where you're supposed to get the wins and put yourself in the good position for the playoffs, and it feels like the SUNYAC is just their Achilles heel for all these Oswego teams. It's just crazy, Brian.
It's nuts. It's crazy. I want to say I think we're spoiled by hockey, men's basketball, and women's hockey, because those teams are teams like that are towards the top of their leagues, towards the top of the country, like for Division III sports, like for their respective sports. And so they stack their non-conference schedules versus hard opponents. So We see them play non-conference games. They're tough games. They win. Some they lose. And it's like, and then you get the other sports that aren't at the level. They're not top of the country, top of the SUNYAC, like, teams in for their respective sports, and they go for easier non-conference games. And I think that's just, like, it kind of, those three winter sports kind of skew what we want for SUNYAC and non-conference for everything else, which is kind of annoying. Even, also, I forgot to mention, baseball does the same thing. Their non-conference schedule is just as hard as basketball, men's basketball, and the hockey's. So, like, those four teams kind of skew what we look at. And it makes, and I think we forget that, especially coming off the summer break when the only team that even played in the summer was baseball, and you've forgotten about all the non-conference work. I think that's just, like, where we're at. It's, like, we forget that not every team plays a hard non-conference schedule, and then we get all hyped up because they're killing these non-conference teams. But the real challenge is the SUNYAC, and it is every year for these teams.
Right. We got to, like, view these fall sports and spring sports in a little different light. I feel that, you know, obviously you mentioned that with hockey and basketball, it's more of, you know, SUNYAC, they're really doing well, and these non-conference matchups are really hard. And it just seems like for women's volleyball, for example, that they are facing New Paltz and they're facing Oneonta. And New Paltz is a tough team. They're 6-1 in SUNYAC, third in the SUNYAC. They're going to be the ones who are going to be making the playoffs. And then you got Oneonta, which is right behind you, 7th in the SUNYAC, and they're 2-5 against SUNYAC opponents. So it's going to be interesting to see if volleyball is able to take these last two games, or, I mean, at least split them. You would probably want to at least win against Oneonta, because Oneonta's right behind you. You want to make sure that they're not going to be jumping you in that SUNYAC conference. And then with New Paltz, you just got to hope that, you know, going on the road, two road matchups, you gotta see where it goes from there. You gotta see if you can get that momentum from the SUNY Poly game into these two SUNYAC opponents. So it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, and I think just, like, I don't want to say they're safe, because no team's ever safe. They would have the X on the standings for clinched a playoff spot, and they haven't done that yet. But they're 4-3. For Oneonta and Fredonia behind them are both 2-5. So I think all they have to do is win one of these games versus New Paltz Oneonta to clinch that spot.
Right.
There may be other tiebreakers I don't know about that, even if Fredonia wins both of them and we only lose one. I think if we win one of these games, unless Fredonia has three games left, which I don't think they do, or Oneonta, I think we'll be fine. I think we get in. Yeah. So I think team one, volleyball, I'm gonna say that lock is almost completely closed for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I agree. I think winning against Oneonta or New Paltz just locks it down.
Yeah.
And then you obviously have your Marywood University, which is another non-conference opponent. Would you say that game matters? You'd say
For morale. It's for morale.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how the season ends, that game is a morale game. They probably head down to Scranton, Pennsylvania, and walk out of their 3-0-3-1. That's my guess for that game. But the games that matter are tomorrow, October 21st, Friday, or if this gets out on Saturday, yesterday's game, which you will know, New Paltz, and then Saturday's October 22nd in Oneonta. Those are the two games that matter.
Yep. And before we go into women's soccer, we would just like to shout out to the Oswegonian, as the Oswegonian is the independent student-run newspaper of SUNY Oswego. Every Friday during the semester, the writers and staff release a weekly edition of the paper. Each edition contains the latest news, sports, reviews, and opinions from the writers of the Oswegonian. Check out each story online on the Oswegonian website.
Yeah. They are our bosses.
They are.
And they do some great work. That's not just because they're our bosses. They do great work. I love reading their writing. I love a good friend of ours, the sports editor, Ben Diamond.
Yep.
He's your housemate.
Exactly.
Huge friend of ours. our boss, Zach Case, the multimediator, good friend, Spencer Bates, Annika, Abby, they're all great people. They all do some amazing work over there. But let's switch it over to some women's soccer, because they had a huge win on Tuesday, beating Fredonia in Fredonia 2-1, jumped them from 7th in the standings up to 5th, making their playoff chances a lot better.
Yeah, a lot better, Brian. And just going into this Oswego-Fredonia matchup, they were able to be tied after the first half, and then Oswego was able to score their second goal in the second half on a Legina Serraro goal with at 47 minutes and 26 seconds to take that win. So
just after halftime.
Exactly. Just after halftime, they were able to win against Fredonia and then just keep up their momentum going into the end of the season. And this was a much-needed win for their morale and their confidence going into a hopeful playoff positioning for them, as last Saturday it wasn't really looking good for this Oswego women's soccer team as they lost 1-0 at home in their final game of the season at home, and it was an ugly game, Brian. It was an ugly game. There wasn't a lot of. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of offense because it was a 1-0 game, but it was also something where it was just. There wasn't any connection between the players. I don't know if it was just a bad day. It was windy, and you were going to play after field hockey, so it may have just tried to, rush on the field. Weren't able to get your mindset. Who knows? But it just felt like they were just coming out, and they just didn't really know how to play their brand of soccer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this box score. I know you were there. You saw the game. I was here in the campus center for hockey. I know you were there. But it's 84th minute goal, too. That game is tied all the way. You got 10 minutes. You got 5 minutes left. And then they take the lead. That's got to hurt.
Oh, and it was on Gianna Gritzmacher. She was really playing dominant all game for the Red Dragons, but she was able to just get one in off of Perry Anderson, who was having a great game, was having one of her best games, and it was only 2 shots on goal for the Red Dragons, as Oswego was just unable to get anything on shots on goal. They evened out with shots, and Oswego was able to just get one save, but it was just the defense for both teams was on that day, but it was also just Oneana was just able to get the leg up.
Yeah, that hurts. But the win yesterday, or 2 days ago now, win 2 days ago now, got in that playoff spot. So there are now 4 teams vying for the final 3 playoff spots. You've got Plattsburgh, who is in 4th. Oswego is in 5th. It's Potsdam in 6th, Brockport in 7th. They're all within 3 points of each other. And it is it's just so close. Let's see. Yeah, Plattsburgh's at 13, Brockport's down at 10. So they're all at 3. Potsdam and Brockport tied at 10 apiece. Oswego at 11. 1 game left for all of these teams. None of them play each other, too. They're all playing a different opponent. It is going to be a wild final day in the Suniac for women's soccer.
Yeah, and I mean, it just... And then just going back to that Oneana game, because it meant... excuse me. It meant a lot to Oswego and where they're positioning now. Oneana at that time was in last place of the Suniac. You weren't even able to just tie that game.
Get a single point?
That hurts.
Yeah.
Plattsburgh is now 2 points ahead of you. You win that game, You may be ahead of Plattsburgh, and you may just be winning against Fredonia and getting in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was just mind-boggling to me how they weren't able to win against a lower-level opponent in the Suniac and just also just not put up any fight. But we will definitely see as it gets into crunch time for this women's soccer team as they do face New Paltz.
Yeah, they're third, 18 points. They have clinched a spot in the playoffs, but I was talking to Zach Case earlier about this and about just like, do teams who have clinched in general rest people, whatever, for the playoffs, or do they fight for a position? I think Cortland, who's clinched the one seed, may do that. They know how they have the one seed locked up.
Yeah.
Geneseo and New Paltz, who are 2-3, are within a point of each other. So I don't think New Paltz is going to rest anybody, because if they win, Geneseo loses, then they get the first round bye.
Well, why would you?
Exactly.
Why would you?
Exactly. Why would you rest people if you know you can get yourself a first round bye? So that makes the Lakers' final game a tough one versus a team looking for the first round bye. They're going to be playing hard to give themselves a week of rest. Then you get Plattsburgh taking on an already eliminated number 8 Buffalo State. So I don't think you're jumping Plattsburgh. I think they're going to kind of hold on to that 4 seed. Potsdam, though, gets number 2 Geneseo. So they're not only are they behind you, they have a team doing the exact same thing as New Paltz, vying, trying to get the bye. And then Brockport gets number 1 Cortland, who has, like I said, clinched. So they may rest. So I think you have to look out for Brockport behind you if you don't win that game. But if Potsdam loses and Brockport wins, you're still in the 6th spot.
Yeah.
So they're that lock halfway closed. Because they would need Potsdam and Brockport to win for them to not be in the playoff.
Yeah. And I definitely will ask you if the lock is closed halfway, quarter of the way throughout all these sports, as we will transition over to the men's side of Laker Turf. And it was also a tough game against the Oneonta Red Dragons as they took the loss 2-1. And Brian, they still have a shot, but a lot of moving parts are going to have to happen for this men's soccer team to sneak into the playoffs, as they're in a 3-way tie for the Suniac.
Yeah, it is tight. So the top 4 seeds are locked in. They're going to fight for position, but they're locked in. Geneseo is in 5th. They're fighting at 9 points. Then there's Plattsburgh, us, and Fredonia, all on 8 points. So right now, because of tiebreakers, we're in 7th. So we need some things to go our way. But we're gonna look back to that Oneonta loss, because that hurts. Kind of a must-win game. I mean, I know Oneonta, they're good. They're the second best team. So you kind of, at least, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago with points. You wanted at least a point, a tie.
Right.
Couldn't do it, which hurts. But yeah, 2-1 loss on Saturday. That Kieran Gilroy, again, his 7th goal of the year, just after halftime, 3 minutes later, but 3 minutes after the half. But then it was Lucas, I'm going to guess Fetchy, with his 6th goal of the year to take the lead back at 2-1 at just before the 60th minute. We take the loss, and we were completely outplayed in that game. If you take a look at the shots on the box score, Oneonta had 20 shots, 9 of them on target, compared to Oswego's 4-3 being on target.
Yeah, it was just a game they want to forget. I mean, you got Kieran Gilroy doing his thing, being able to keep them in at a bouncing right back from goal from Ethan Brunel. Just not even, probably like a minute later, Kieran Gilroy gets the goal to go just by himself. And it's just like, that's just up to the defense. Who's gonna break first?
Yeah.
And you know, Oswego's defense was the one who broke first. If we get down to the team statistics, we got Oswego only getting 4 shots 3 shots on goal, and Oneana getting 20 shots and 9 of them on goal. And yeah. It's just like, for both of these teams, for women's soccer and men's soccer, it just feels like with these two games, both against Oneana, it just felt like they weren't even trying to get a shot on goal.
Yeah.
Or anything going.
The women's team didn't have a single shot on goal.
Exactly. And it just seems like when you have minimal shots on goal, you're not going to land a lot of them. I mean, that's just what happens in soccer. And it just feels like, you know, obviously you have Kieran Gilroy being the stable of that offense, but you can't rely on him. Rely on him to score you all your points. He might be one of the lead scorers, but you got to...
You need secondary, you need tertiary scorers.
Exactly.
You can't just have one. And I think that's a problem with just like a lot of our teams in general. But I do want a quick shout out Matt Darpino with 7 saves. I mean, you face 9 shots on goal and only 2 of them go in. That's a really good day.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how much else you can expect from him. I mean, you can say, oh, we gave up 2. It's like he saved 7 though. 7 saves is a really, really good day. No matter how many goals, no matter how many, if you give up 5, that hurts. But like. I mean, 7 goals, 7 saves on 9 shots. That is a, let's do, quickly pull the calculator out here. 7 divided by 9 is, I did that backwards. What is happening? Work, computer. 77% save, 77%. That's pretty good. For any single game, 77% is pretty good.
Right. Yeah, and I'm just looking at the players for Oswego compared to... SUNY Oneana, and just their shots and shots on goal, like it was basically Jason Witek and Kieran Gilroy only getting the action here in offense. Like Kieran Gilroy got 1 shot on goal, that one went in. Jason Witek got 2, none of them went in. The rest is zeros across the board.
Except for Kyle Hanner off the bench with a single shot, wasn't on goal though.
Exactly.
Compared to, you mentioned.
And he only had 27 minutes played.
Yep.
Got Ryan Contreras and Kyle Genrich. Kyle Genrich got 52 minutes. Didn't get a single shot. And it didn't even get an assist there because Kieran Gilroy was the only one that got an assist. And then you look over to Oneana's side. It's Lucas Fechi got 2 shots on goal and he got a goal. You got Ethan Brunel got 3.
He got a goal.
And he got a goal as well. And it's just, you're seeing more, you're seeing more higher numbers than 0 than Oswego. And that's going to make or break the game. That's going to make or break how successful are you going to be on offense.
5 different players for Oneana got a shot on goal compared to the 2 for Oswego. I mean, I think that's the difference maker.
Yeah.
Shots coming from different players at all angles. Makes the difference.
Exactly. It's not always going to be the one who... It's just going to be the single guy trying to lead your team because you're not going to win. In all sports, it's not just one man. There's no I in team.
Yeah. But... So, looking how they get into the playoffs. Because they're not out of it. They're certainly not out of it.
Where's the lock?
I'm going to give it a third right now.
A third.
All right. They need some things to go their way.
Third close.
So, okay. So, if they win and... Two of Geneseo, Plattsburgh, Fredonia lose.
Okay.
So 2 of them lose, they're in.
Okay.
Geneseo has number 10 Potsdam.
Yeah.
That hurts. Potsdam is just not good this year. Right. Sorry, Potsdam. Yeah. Potsdam's listening. Sorry, your men's soccer team, not very good this year. Plattsburgh gets number 9 Buffalo State. That hurts.
Yep.
Fredonia, though, gets number 3 Oneonta. So, that looks good for us, but if we want to guarantee, like, with a win, you need 2 of Plattsburgh and Geneseo and Fredonia to lose. Now, if they tie and Plattsburgh and Fredonia lose, they get the 6th seed. They're guaranteed, that puts them in the 6th spot. So that is good, but again, they need Plattsburgh to lose to number 9 Buffalo State. I think also if Plattsburgh ties and we win,
yep.
We're also in.
Okay.
So If anybody who is around the Buffalo State men's soccer team is listening to this podcast, here's my PSA for you. Please, hype your players up. Hype, like, just a tie. All
play
we
spoiler.
Need is a tie.
Play spoiler please,
yes,
for the Lakers.
Yes, please. That's my PSA. Thank you for listening.
It's just, it's so interesting to see all these, like, scenarios and what could happen. Right. Because, like, I mean, we could say all these scenarios and Oswego could just get blown out by New Paltz and then it just doesn't really matter. But it's nice to see how, you know, even if they win and tie, they still have a shot in it, but they just need so much help from other teams.
Things need to go their way.
And it's just been a frustrating season for this men's soccer team. It's just interesting to see that they still got a shot, even if they've been not really playing that well. They're only 2-4-2 in the Suniac, and it just seems like a lot of things are going wrong. But you know as well as I do, Brian, you just got to get the ticket. You just got to get the golden ticket to get in the playoffs. It doesn't really matter. Records go out the window.
Exactly. And they did it last year. I'm pretty sure they were the 5 or 6 last year, and they went all the way to the Suniac Championship. Lost to Cortland. I think Cortland is, well, not this year, last year. Cortland was above and beyond. They were a ranked program in the country. But, like, they made it all the way there after, again, only being, like, a 6 seed. So, like you said, just get your ticket. Punch
just
the ticket.
Get your ticket.
And anything can happen.
Exactly. All right, moving over to some field hockey now.
Yeah. They're technically not out, but sorry, you are, the lock is closed for you guys on the wrong side.
On the wrong side. Okay.
Your lock is closed for not being in the playoff. That's where I'm at. You got 2 games left. Technically you're not out. I was talking about this with Ben Diamond earlier. I don't understand how the lock isn't closed, because they haven't won a game in the Suniac. We've been saying it episode after episode. They have their 0-4. They got 2 left. Morrisville, who's 0-5, is eliminated. Even if they win these 2, they haven't beaten a Suniac team. So I don't know, like, what tiebreakers are there that would allow them to jump one of them. Also, for field hockey being the only sport that only four teams get in.
Right.
So realistically, they're only getting the 4 seed, and I don't know what tiebreaker they have would get over Brockport and Oneonta, because they didn't beat them.
And it's also interesting, looking at the Suniac standings right now, Morrisville's eliminated.
Yeah.
And Oswego's behind them.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I mean, I guess they've lost more conference games, and I don't know if that makes a difference.
You think they'd put them behind because they lost more.
Right.
I don't know.
But Oswego is still, it's like their overall record's 3-8, and Oswego's 7-7. I don't know if it's, why is Oswego behind? It does not make sense. But anyway.
But they got 2 games left. The first of those 2 games is Geneseo, the only team that has clinched a playoff spot that haven't lost in the Suniac yet. They're 4-0. They're 12-2 this year. I think I'm sorry to any field hockey fans. I think once they lose that game, unless they pull major upset, which, if I will, again, I think I said this last week or something, I'm going to say it again. If they win, play major upset at Geneseo, I'll come back on this podcast and give a formal apology to the field hockey team. But the record this year kind of says they're going to lose to Geneseo and they're going to be eliminated from the playoff.
Are we hearing this, the field hockey team, make Brian come back on here and apologize.
Yeah, if you guys want me to apologize,
please,
I will.
Please.
Do it.
Because, I mean, I was very hyped in the beginning of the season. I know in episode 1 and episode 2, I was very excited for this field hockey team because it just seemed like they were just dominating. They were dominating against these non-conference opponents, and we're just seeing it right now. Suniac is the Achilles heel, just like with all these other teams that they haven't been able to dominate the Suniac, and it just seems like now Geneseo and Morrisville, they gotta win those win both of those games. It's nothing other than that, but it just doesn't seem plausible right now.
No, and I gotta do a quick shout out here because this was announced about an hour ago that goalie Erica Schablein was selected to the 2022. NFHCA Division III Senior Game, which she's one of only 60 athletes across the country to make the team. So, congrats to her.
Congrats to Erica Schblein. Congrats.
Because despite the team's shortcomings this year, she still did have a really good season. And we want to make sure she gets shouted out for her accomplishments.
Exactly.
That is great news. Good for her.
Congrats. That is awesome for Erica Schblein that she's able to get that achievement. Because she's done a lot.
She's been phenomenal.
She's been that piece for this field hockey team all season. But going over to the turf. And now we're getting on some quick thoughts about men's and women's hockey as we just had our first preseason game for both teams. We'll start off with men's hockey. They won against Stevenson 3-1 in the Deborah F. Stanley Arena, and they looked good.
Yeah, they looked really good. All three goalies played, and they all looked, none of them looked bad. So the one goal did came against Eric Green. He got the start in the first period. And then Perron got the second period. Cal Shell, the freshman, got the third period. But they all looked good in their own aspects, like in their own styles. They all looked really good. The team looked good. Obviously, they put three goals, and that third one being an empty netter, which is kind of lucky in the situation. If you go back... It's on the WTOP. The game itself is on the WTOP YouTube page. If you go back and look for that third goal towards the very end of the third period, it was empty net. Pretty kind of lucky circumstances, but as a whole, they looked really good.
Yeah, definitely. And they are going to take on Carleton Place this Saturday, Carleton Place is a junior team.
Yeah, from the Central Canadian Hockey League. They're from Ottawa.
It's. All these preseason games, they make it very interesting on Oswego. I know that, obviously, we're a big hockey school, so opponents from Canada isn't out of the picture. But it's just interesting to see like other teams from pretty much another country come to Oswego. And just a little preview here for the Oswego men's hockey team. Just going after Carleton Place, they face Hobart. And then Elmira is going to be the teal game.
Very big opening weekend.
Yeah.
But I think we'll cover that a little more next week.
Exactly.
Just a little anticipation. Yep. Both those teams are current preseason poll were ranked.
Yeah.
That is their opening weekend. They follow that up with Whiteout. That's the game following that in the next weekend.
Exactly.
So a little anticipation, get you a little more excited about men's hockey. But I'm not gonna read the whole ad here, but if you do want the whole you want more about hockey just in general. Oswego Hockey Pod. Oswegonian Hockey Pod.
Zach Case and Tom Sturgeon, yep.
That's where you get a lot more experienced hockey talk than us. We can give you. Those two know their
more experience
stuff.
And more in-depth analysis about their hockey knowledge.
Those two know their stuff.
They know their stuff. They give great insight about both of these hockey teams, and they also have interviews with coaches and players. They're very experienced in their hockey knowledge. So shout out to Zach Case and Thomas Turgeon. They've helped us a lot here with this podcast. Obviously, they helped us with that interview last week, and that was very helpful. Helped us out a lot, so appreciate them.
And yes, so they cover both the men's and the women's team, which we'll talk about right now, who did not look as good versus the junior team, the London Junior Devilettes of Ontario. They didn't come from across the pond just to play us.
Yeah.
they're just from Canada. They're right around, I think it's London's just outside of Toronto. They lost 9-5 to a junior team, to a U18 team. None of these girls were over 18 years old. That sounds bad, but six of these girls, I believe I heard, there's like six of them play for the Canadian junior team, like the Canadian national junior team. So, like, they're really good. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, we lost to some like just like a put together team of like under 18. No, these are like really, really good players. One of them's already, I think one of their goalies is already committed to the University of Toronto, which I believe is a very good hockey school in Canada.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, from that game, it was just like they were doing good at the start.
Yeah, 4-1 after the first period.
4-1 after the first period.
4-1 up after the first period.
But then when he came after second intermission, it just seemed like the Devilettes were just skating around us.
Yeah,
and
skating circles.
We were not getting anything to go. and they scored 9 points. It's not a good open to, obviously, these games don't matter as much as in the regular season, but you got to be like, whoa, like that just, that's like a wake-up call for this Oswego women's hockey team. And they will face Nazareth for their second and final preseason matchup this upcoming Saturday. Yeah. And, I mean, that's another team where they can put the London Devilettes behind them and just kind of get their first official win in the Deborah F. Stanley Arena, even though it doesn't count.
Yeah, of the season.
And then they're going to have pretty much a weekend doubleheader against Adrian College.
Which, that's a massive game. Yeah. But yeah, just quickly, Nazareth is currently ranked, or preseason was ranked 7th in the country. So, it's a huge game. Oswego was unofficial. I say unofficial because the rankings stop at 15, but as far as vote getters go, they were the 17th highest. So, unofficial 17 in the country. Big game. Preseason, nothing matters. It doesn't count to the record. Like the polls, the pairwise don't count it. But it's just a big game for mental. And like you said, then they get Adrian, who is doubleheader. They're number 12 in the country. That's a big game. And a little tidbit, Rachel Corbett of our team has a twin sister on the Adrian team. So it's just kind of funny. You know, look out, if you're going to watch the games, look out for the Corbett sisters kind of going back and forth.
I'm guessing the family will be in attendance there.
Big time.
It'll be like where back in like all the sports teams, they have like different jerseys on for different teams.
It's like mom will have the Oswego one and dad's going to have the Adrian one or something. Exactly. Like, they'll somehow, who knows, they could have figured out how to do that halfway split jersey. Right. That'd be kind of cool to look at because the name would be like, but who knows.
Right.
Maybe we'll find them, talk to them.
Maybe.
Who knows? Probably not. I don't want to get your hopes up for like a talkative Corbett family. But like, look out for that. It's just a cool little tidbit.
Yeah. That's gonna do it. That's gonna wrap it up for episode 4 of the 104 Sports Report.
Your week in Laker sports.
Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will have more information or more analysis on the ending of these fall sports. We're hoping that most of these teams can make their way into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then
playoff preview next week.
Yeah, exactly. Playoff preview next week, and then we'll also just be talking about more about hockey, and then
Once basketball starts, we're going to have a lot of basketball for you guys.
We're going to have a lot to talk about.
We don't want to step on the toes of the hockey pod.
Yeah.
So we'll be your source for basketball here.
Yeah.
On the 104 Sports Report.
Exactly. But that will do it for episode 4 of the 104 Sports Report. Alongside me, Brian Burrows, I am Alex Brooks, and hope you guys have a good night and go Lakers. Let's do this.
Lakers.